Hello everyone, my name is Ricardo Villalobos. I'm a Principal Program Manager inside the Technical Evangelism and Development team. Today I'm here to talk to you about the Microsoft Azure platform, give you an overview of where it's at today, what's our vision for the cloud in terms of the public offering that we have, also the services that are part of the platform today, of the framework today, and also give you a glimpse of what's ahead of us in terms of new features and things that we're working on. So I'm gonna start by mentioning that Microsoft Azure is our public cloud. And what that means, because today you can find the word cloud everywhere. Specific to this context, Microsoft Azure is a set of resources deployed worldwide in terms of compute and storage. And this is one of the number one characteristics of the public cloud. You are sharing resources with other tenants. The other thing is that you are in charge of provisioning these machines. You are in charge of creating new storage subscriptions and uploading your information. You don't have to specifically ask an IT department inside Microsoft to take advantage of all these resources. What this means is that you can scale at will. You can add resources, you can remove resources, you can add more storage, you can reduce storage as you need it. And it creates this model where basically you are only paying for what you are using. And the real effect of this, compared to the traditional way of provisioning capacity when it comes to an application or a new framework, either internal or external, is that traditionally you have a forecasted load, and based on that forecasted load, you buy new resources. Traditionally, you will have a higher investment because you have to make sure that you're going to have enough servers or storage to meet the demand of the solution. The problem is that you are going to end up with oversupply. So you're going to have wasted capacity at the end of the day. And moreover, you might end up with undersupply if the forecast that you have doesn't come close to the actual demand of your solution or application. And that means that you're going to have to buy more servers or more storage in order to meet that potentially temporary capacity, and you can end up with a lot of oversupply, and that means you're gonna have to find a way to move resources, reallocate resources or servers or storage. So this is the traditional way of provisioning capacity. With a public cloud model, you still have your loader, your load forecast, but you can keep the actual allocated infrastructure much closer to the actual demand. And this means that the lower initial investment, less oversupply because you're not wasting capacity, you are using all the resources as you need them. And also it means that you will not have undersupply. You're gonna see that inside Microsoft Azure. We have specific algorithms that allow you to auto-scale and change the compute capacity based on different criteria and thresholds. And also, if the demand changes dramatically, you can allocate and dynamically change that capacity, making sure that it's close to the actual demand. You are not wasting resources. So this is the big change. And when we talk to companies about this new model, the first thing that comes to mind is the economics aspects. How much money am I going to save if I don't have to buy new equipment just in case I need more capacity? And definitely there's an economic factor there, that there are cost savings. But what we have found is that companies are finding the public cloud to give them a lot of agility and being able to concentrate on what they are good at, which is creating applications for their customers. And at the end of the day, it's having more innovation inside the corporation because the cycles to going from an idea to the proof of concept to the actual production are much shorter. You don't have to create a PO for new servers. You don't have to talk to the internal IT. And as a developer, that's a huge advantage. So let's talk about the global infrastructure today. What is Microsoft Azure today? So Microsoft has data centers around the world, and we have enabled some of them with Azure capacity. We have over 25 years of experience managing data centers. There's a specific division inside Microsoft called Global Foundation Services. And actually, you can go to globalfoundationservices.com to find more information about our data centers, our facilities, our security and compliance and privacy. Today, we have 10 data centers around the world. Publicly available, four in the U.S., two in Europe, two in four in Asia. So, two in Japan that were recently announced. We also have one in Singapore and Hong Kong. So, 10 data centers around the world with Microsoft Azure enabled. We also have announced that we're going to have six more data centers with Microsoft Azure enabled: two in China, two in Australia, and two in Brazil. And they will become available before the end of this calendar year. Brazil, actually, we have publicly announced that will be going live in the next 2 months, as of March 2014. We have different types of data centers, but and we basically qualify them as different generations, generation 3, generation 4, etc. And the big factor is how efficient they are and what kind of technology we are using in order to cool down the servers, how we rapidly can get new capacity based on these huge containers that we can just bring into the data centers, connect them to the electricity or the internet connection, and they are up and running. Again, if you need more information about the metrics and the efficiency of the data center, you can always go to globalfoundationservices.com and find that information. We have another set of partners or edge nodes around the world that basically give you the benefit of sharing information using 25 extra nodes. So this is for read-only purposes. Let's say that you have a video or an image or a document that you want to share worldwide, and you want to make sure that if you share this document and somebody requests this document from South America or Europe or Australia, it is as close as possible to the user requesting this content. So the Global CDN does exactly that. We have special partnerships and our own data centers offering this, and the only thing you have to do is to enable this content. You get a special URL that you can share with your customers, and it will automatically buffer the content, cache the content to those edge nodes. We also offer global support. We have different support tiers 24/7 around the world. We have local account teams like my team. We have over 40 evangelists, technical and business evangelists, working with Microsoft partners worldwide, helping them understand and adopt Microsoft Azure for their solutions. And last but not least, we support multiple currencies when it comes to the Microsoft Azure store. A little bit of history around Microsoft Azure. We started offering Microsoft Azure commercially in February 2010. So today, which is March 2014, we've been around for 4 years now with Microsoft Azure. It has evolved tremendously during the last 4 years. By January 2014, 55% of the Fortune 500 companies are using one way or another Microsoft Azure resources. We reached the million core milestone last year. And right now we are at the 1.6 exabyte mark in terms of storage. And we keep growing. The number that we share is that we are seeing over 1,000 new customers joining the platform every single day. So it's a proven and mature platform. And We also have different compliance capabilities. The most important ones are listed on this slide. I would like to emphasize the PCI, the payment card industry capability that we have now in our data centers. And obviously the SAS 70 and ISO 27001. We have a resource online. If you search for the Microsoft Azure Trust Center, it's gonna take you to this page inside the Microsoft Azure portal where you can find information about security, privacy, compliance. We have several FAQs there where you can find answer to all your questions around compliance, security, and privacy. So what is the main concept behind Microsoft Azure? And the way we see it is a world of services for both developers and IT pros. It is the cornerstone of our devices and services story. And the way it works, we have a set of what we call app services. You can see this as developer services. We identify the specific needs of the developers inside the Microsoft platform, but also outside the Microsoft platform, you're going to see that we support both worlds today, where we have caching as a service, identity as a service. The idea is that as a developer, I don't have to create everything from scratch. There are some commonalities across the different applications, and we have identified those, and we have created services in order to support these features. Among them are caching, identity, integration, service bus, different ways to provision compute power that I'm gonna address in the next few slides. We also have data services, so there are different ways to store and expose your data. We have SQL Server as a service that we call SQL DB. We have a NoSQL approach to data, which is table storage. Obviously, we have blobs in order to upload videos, images, documents, and we have also Hadoop as a service, and I'm going to touch on all the services later on. And obviously we have the infrastructure, the foundation of the platform in terms of virtual machines, in terms of networking, VPN connectivity, etc. So the idea is that as a developer, you can choose out of these services, combine them, and then package them into different applications. The most common model that we're seeing is application as a service or X as a service. So companies are taking all these components, putting them together, putting a business model based on subscription around it, and start offering these services as an application under a subscription model. And by the way, we have different teams helping these companies not only on the technology side of things, but also on the business side of things. How do you price these applications? How do you compensate your sales reps with these new cloud models for creating solutions? There are some specific fundamental concepts, differentiators, that make Microsoft Azure a really attractive proposition for the companies that we work with. First of all, there are three different ways to use Azure Compute. So when you require to get new servers, new machines to run your solution, we offered three ways of delegating the maintenance of the technology layers to Microsoft. The first one is cloud services that we call PaaS. The second one is virtual machines or infrastructure as a service. And the third one is websites or platform as a service. From a technology point of view, you can see cloud services as Windows as a service. You can see virtual machines as virtualization or Hyper-V as a service. And you can see websites as Internet Information Services as a service. So it's an HTTP server as a service. And to better illustrate this, this is the traditional technology stack for your own data center, where you are in charge of maintaining every single one of these layers, all the way from the hardware to the application itself. With Microsoft Azure, now you have the option of saying, well, I would like to keep control of the operating system all the way up to the application because I know how to make the operating system itself more compatible with my solution, which has specific requirements. But you also can say, you know what, I know that it works fine on Windows, I don't require a lot of customization, a high level of customization, and that means that you can probably use cloud services. And now, with this model, within this model, Microsoft is going to maintain the operating system for you. We will apply updates, we will apply security fixes, updates, etc. You don't have to deal with that process anymore. And then when it comes to websites, that's, we take care of Windows, we take care of IIS for you. So there are ways that you can, there are things and variables that you can change within IIS, but at the end, we are responsible for supporting those layers. The more you move to the right on this slide, the more you can concentrate on your application, the less control you have on some of these layers, obviously, but the benefit of this is that you are not restricted to using only one of them. And that's the second big differentiator. You can decide to deploy some of your components under the PaaS model or cloud services, and traditionally that will be your web page or your the presentation portion of your application. You can deploy that to cloud services because you can use PHP or ASP.NET or whatever other language you're using for that purpose in a PaaS model where you don't have to maintain the operating system. But you might decide that the backend, the database engine, needs to run in virtual machines because you understand SQL Server always on very well and you want to follow that model. You can deploy that to infrastructure as a service. So now you have a combination of virtual machine and cloud services in the same environment. But the next problem is you don't want to have to expose your database, in this case running on virtual machines, to the world. You only want your cloud services, your platform as a service components to talk to that database. And we have solved that. You can create a virtual network, and within that virtual network, you can have multiple deployment models. You can have a DNS server if you want the machines to see each other by name. And then not only that, you can connect this virtual network to on-premises machines where you might have additional information that is difficult to move, difficult to migrate. If you notice, we put in a lot of emphasis on the hybrid model where you can combine private clouds, on-premises machines with the public cloud. So the message that you have to migrate everything in order to take advantage of the public cloud is really not something that we are promoting or pursuing. We see the public cloud as a perfect candidate for extending your current infrastructure instead of having to migrate the whole set of machines that you already have. Then within this model, the only thing that you need to expose to the world is the endpoints attached to the presentation layer, to that server that is hosting the HTTP component, the HTTP engine, in this case IIS, if you want to use that. The other big differentiator is that we are offering different ways of licensing our frameworks within Microsoft Azure. We obviously have the option of running the framework as a service, and that means that we manage the licenses, we manage the infrastructure. It is completely licensed by Microsoft. And then on the other end, we have virtual machines, where we have two models. It's a license included virtual machine, which is basically offered as a bundle. You take this image that already includes Windows and SQL Server, we give you a price for that bundle, and you only pay for the number of minutes that you have that server up and running. If you decide to bring your own license, that's perfectly fine too. You can bring your own license, you can just create a virtual machine running Windows or Linux, install your own license, which could be, for example, Oracle, and then run that on virtual machines. So multiple options: as a service, where you don't have to worry about managing or licensing the products; virtual machines as a bundle, where you don't have to worry about the license. You have to manage the machine, but you don't have to worry about the license. Or bring your own license, where you are in total control of the licensing model and the managing model. So the other big differentiator is Microsoft Azure Storage. This is the foundation, the cornerstone of the rest of the services. Even virtual machines, the operating system disk and the data disk are based on this technology. Every single time that you upload a file to Microsoft Azure Storage, we're gonna make, inside the same data center, three copies of that file. And we have what we call fault domains. So if anything happens to the fault domain, which is a combination of a server, server rack, router, switch, then we have two more copies that we can use in order to fix whatever problem might occur with that data. You can also enable geo-replication, which means that the that content is going to be automatically copied to a secondary data center. And thus, if you notice, when I was showing you the infrastructure, we have two data centers per region. They are always connected. So if you upload a new file to the Singapore data center, and you enable geo-replication, it's going to be automatically copied to the Hong Kong data center. It fully supports REST API, which means that you can access data services and storage from multiple platforms and programming languages. So let's talk about the common workload. So now that I have mentioned the differentiators, hybrid models in terms of deployment, licensing, and a highly performant data services behind it, I want to talk to you about the workloads that we have identified after working with several partners around the world. The first one is related to data. It's really, really simple to start backing up your information using the public cloud. And what we have found is that data grows, as you know, exponentially, 50 to 60% annually. We have so many sources of information nowadays that it's really easy to get more data about your company, about your business, about your area of expertise. However, most of the I/O operations, the daily information that we use, is much lower than that growing factor that we're seeing with the rest of the information. So where we see a huge opportunity in the public cloud is that delta between what you actually use on a daily basis and what is considered archive or something that you're using for reporting purposes. And when you compare the cost of having information in the public cloud versus getting your own devices, it's almost four times less expensive when it comes to using the cloud. And this is a study from Forrester that shows that we actually acquire a company called StorSimple. They offer this interesting model where you install a device on premises, it compresses the information, it allows you to back up the data automatically to your data subscription within Microsoft Azure. So that's the first workload. The second one that we're finding is the dev test model, where instead of assigning a budget for servers to your developers when they are creating a new solution, when they are testing the solution and having to place requests to the IT department every single time they need a new server or they need more capacity in order to install a new database, companies can assign a budget to them in the public cloud, in this case, Microsoft Azure, so they can take advantage of those resources. And the responsibility of the IT administrator now is to oversee the whole deployment. And we are offering tools for that, by the way. System Center today, you can see resources deployed on premises, and you can see resources deployed to the public cloud under the same umbrella, under the same framework. So the IT administrator can concentrate on properly plan those resources moving forward without having to worry about what the developers are using or not using, because they have their own public cloud budget assigned directly to them. They can provision their own machines, they can add more storage when they need it, they can deprovision, they can upload new frameworks, test new frameworks, etc. So one of the workloads that we are finding when working with multiple companies around the world. The third one that I would like to talk about is something that I already mentioned earlier, is how to extend your infrastructure, how the public cloud becomes this additional resources to what you already have. In order to enable this scenario, we support multiple VPN devices and non-proprietary scripts. These are the same scripts that you will find across the industry to connect devices like Cisco devices and Juniper devices to your own network. And this means that you can, for example, use the same Active Directory across your machines deployed on premises and the machines deployed in the public cloud. Very powerful scenario. In some cases, companies decide to keep their data locally, and that's perfectly fine. while running the platform as a service component in the public cloud. We recently announced something called Microsoft Azure Express, which allows you to create connections, private connections, without having to go out to the internet. Providers like Level 3, Equinix, AT&T in the US, you can use those carriers in order to create dedicated lines between your own data centers or your own facilities to Microsoft Azure data centers. The other scenario that we find a lot is, how do you create unified backends for multiple devices? So today we face a market where we have Android phones, where we have iOS phones, obviously we have the Windows phone and the Windows 8 devices. How do you unify the logic for all of them? And the strategy is to deploy a backend to the cloud and then expose that backend, that business logic, through services. We have simplified that process for development companies by creating something that we call Microsoft Azure Mobile Services. You deploy your information and we generate for you the business logic layers and the service layers, securely expose that information to multiple devices. And not only that, we give you a client template for the Android phones, for the iOS phones that you can take as a head start when supporting this multiple platforms. Obviously, we have templates for Windows 8 and Windows Store as well. I'm sorry, Windows Store applications as well. The other scenario, and this is tightly connected to the Internet of Things. So companies that have to deploy multiple sensors, like a utility company gathering information for the electric meter, they can use this approach. And if you remember the whole service-oriented architecture, SOA movement 8-9 years ago, enterprise service bus were very popular. So this is the same concept where you can use messaging patterns like PubSub or compete messaging, and then gather information from all these devices or send commands to all these devices. It can be used in multiple ways, just for updating or sending little messages to locations, remote locations, based on a subscription model. But this is something that you can use as a service. And we actually also provide Service Bus as a standalone framework that you can deploy on premises. So we have 100% parity between Service Bus on premises and Service Bus as a service running on Microsoft Azure. Now we have big data. And when it comes to big data, Hadoop is the preferred framework out there. We have partnered with Hortonworks, which is the commercial entity behind Hadoop. And we have created a cluster of machines running inside Microsoft Azure data centers that allow you to take advantage of Hadoop without having to worry about maintaining the cluster, deploying the cluster, and exposing that to the world. Obviously, we provide security and different collaboration tools. But at the end of the day, what this gives you is the ability to start using big data, a big data framework, directly from information that you might already have or you are collecting, and then turn that into information that you can use for reporting purposes. And we have specific connectors to tools like Excel, or if you decide to use other ones, an ODBC connector to other platforms and reporting tools as well. We also have another workload where basically we offer video encoding as a service based on workflows. You take a raw video, you upload it to our media services framework, and then you're gonna get the option of exposing this video for multiple platforms in different formats. So you can decide to offer this for Flash plugins or iOS devices or HTML5 if you have a web application. So you don't have to worry about, first of all, provisioning that cluster of servers supporting the media encoding, and second, about the encoding licensing itself. We take care of that for you. So you create the flow, you decide which format you want to expose, and you are done. And you can connect this to the content delivery network that I mentioned earlier in order to improve performance when it comes to distributing these videos and resources. The other thing that we are offering is, what happens if you need high availability and redundancy? Well, you can deploy the same application to multiple data centers around the world inside the Microsoft Azure network. And then you can use what we call Traffic Manager. It's a DNS load balancer. And you can decide the model on which this Traffic Manager runs at. It could be performance, which means that if the user is making a request from Europe, they're going to be automatically sent to the European data center. It could be Amsterdam or Dublin. Or you can say a failover. If this data center is not responding, automatically send a request to a secondary data center. Or you can say just round robin. I want to do a round robin approach where you send a request and I want to go through all these different data centers inside the Microsoft Azure network. And last but not least, Microsoft Azure is behind Office 365 when it comes to identity and custom domains. So when you add a custom domain, an organization to Office 365, it automatically becomes available inside your Microsoft Azure subscription. And you can use that not only for allowing your users to access the Microsoft Azure resources, also to use Active Directory as the identity provider for potential applications that you might deploy in Microsoft Azure. So definitely becoming the cornerstone, not only of our public cloud, but also of other services inside the Microsoft organization. I just wanna talk real quick about the rapid rate of innovation that the Microsoft Azure team has. I compiled a list of the latest announcements for the last 6 months. I will not go through each one of them. But basically, I would like to emphasize a couple. We now support no charge for the stop VM. So you can stop the VM and we don't charge you for it anymore, which means that you can have several virtual machines ready to be deployed and you just have to click on start and you're up and running. And if you stop it, we don't charge you for that. We are the only cloud provider that charges you by the minute. So even though our rates are by the hour when it comes to compute, we will only charge you by the minute. So you use a server for 7 minutes, that's what you get charged for. The other thing that we announced is auto-scaling features. So you don't have to worry about creating your own algorithm to know when to add more servers, when to reduce the number of servers. And it's not as simple as saying, well, if I get more demand, add more servers. We have very sophisticated logic behind it that you can take advantage of as part of the service itself. We also announced virtual machines with Oracle support as a bundle and also bringing your own licenses. We announced the option of now when you are uploading significant amount of data to Azure, you can send us an encrypted hard drive and then we move that information to your own subscription. And we're talking about petabytes of information because it's not that simple to use regular internet connections to do that, those scenarios. We also announced PCI compliance, which was a high priority request that we got from our partners, which means that you can support the option of storing or receiving payment, credit card payments. Using Azure technology. And also we announced Windows Azure Express, which I already explained, is the option of creating VPN connections without having to go out to the internet using providers like Level 3. In a nutshell, that's the Microsoft Azure platform. We offer virtualization, data platform, DevOps and management, development services, identity services. We integrate with on-premises resources using VPN connections. And not only that, there's this concept of Microsoft Azure only being created for Microsoft developers or Microsoft platforms. And the reality is that we actually have an API, an open API, on top of every single one of our services, which means that we have SDKs for multiple programming languages, including Node.js, obviously .NET, Python, Java, PHP. We have a Ruby SDK. All those SDKs are open source that you can access in GitHub, and we take contributions from the community. We support multiple platforms running on website, which is IaaS as a service. So you can take WordPress, you can select WordPress, and we deploy WordPress for you. All you have to do is configure it, scale your deployment, and that's it. We support multiple devices. As I mentioned, you can create highly performant backends for those devices. We have multiple databases. I have SQL Server and Hadoop listed here, but we have MySQL deployments. We have MongoDB, Cassandra, CouchDB deployments as well, because it's basically an open platform. You can install all those. We support, obviously, Windows Server or Linux. Support CentOS, Ubuntu, and SUSE Linux flavors today. So you can have a combination of Windows deployments with Linux deployments, supporting multiple multiple devices in this open platform that we call Microsoft Azure. Thank you very much for your time today. I hope that this helps you understand our vision long-term for the cloud and how you can take advantage of our public cloud offer.